Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This week, it's brother versus brother.
I won't use it as motivation made by players.
We're a family. You know, we are one big family, and we're going to stay tight. No matter what happens.
A clash that divides the state of Oregon.
The guys on the team are really motivated. We know we still have a lot to play for.
We have to come out with some enthusiasm, some intensity.
This is a Civil War Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by A-Lin-A. Come celebrate with A-Lin-A and watch one of the nation's oldest college rivalries, Oregon's Civil War, at A-Lin-A's Rose and Thorn this Saturday.
Primetime on Civil War Week, 1080.
20, cuts inside 15, 10 breaks a tackle. It gets into the end zone.
The Fan.
One moment, please.
Everything all right in there?
Well, two things. First of all, what it do?
What it do?
What is happening?
You tell me.
I don't know. Hold on. Just hold on. I got one more thing to do. I am in here, and I cannot get my godforsaken headphones unraveled. Crap. There we go.
Hi.
Who's over there?
It's Swag.
Hey, what are you doing?
Just hanging out. Well, last guy in the building on Thanksgiving.
Well, you're not the last guy, because I'm right here, Jason. And I think the boss is here. But Suk is not. He is sick.
No, I heard he was under the weather and gutted it out for the Civil War party. Now, did he help himself to medicinal purposes while enjoying the festivities at Big Al's?
You know, somebody bought him a White Russian. He drinks White Russians.
I know.
And isn't that...
He likes to pawn it off saying it's a homage to the Big Lebowski. But I think he likes foo-foo drinks, quite frankly.
Well, I think it's just he's just an amateur.
Yeah.
You know, he does do the Big Lebowski thing, but he doesn't. He doesn't know what he's doing.
No.
If he did, he wouldn't drink White Russians.
Of course not.
Even if you love Big Lebowski.
No.
It makes no sense.
No.
But look, that's him. Whatever. Somebody bought him a drink. Somebody bought me a Blanton's.
Ooh.
Two of them. It couldn't have gotten sideways last night, but it didn't. I'm a pro.
Uber.
And somebody bought Suka White Russian, and
did he just fall asleep pretty much after finishing that?
No, but he could have. Well, he couldn't finish it. He didn't drink it.
Oh,
that tells you he was sick.
Yes,
so he's very under the weather, and so he is out today. So it's me. No, Mike Lynch. He's I don't know what the hell he's doing.
Turned him loose. This was his big holiday to go home to Mama Lynch.
Oh, is he back in New York?
Yeah. So he's doing the Thanksgiving he's going to be the whipping boy when everybody else takes holidays in December.
I see. Well deserved.
Yes.
Get him out of here. Get him back to New Jersey.
And since I have a full weekend of activity on the air already, I said I'll hang out. And
what do you mean?
Well, I'm calling three PK80 games, so I'm right back at it tomorrow morning.
How exciting for you.
Wait
a minute. Oh, yeah, because you're the UP guy.
Yeah, North Carolina, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m.
Are you full-time?
I am the voice of the Pilots. I do not have a contract, if that's what you're referring to. But, yes, I do all of the games.
When are they going to step up and pay you?
Well, they're paying me. I'm not volunteering to do it. I'm getting paid. It's all right.
I know, but they need to lock you down. You need to drum up another offer. You need to go over to the Vikes.
Well, we need to...
Who calls Vikes games? Is that still Tommy Hewitt?
I don't think they have a... I think it's all internet for them.
Oh, they don't even
I don't think they have a radio partner for football, not for basketball.
Unfortunately, the Pilots play-by-play guy died, right?
Yes, it was very unfortunate.
What was his name?
Bill Johnson.
And was it an accident?
He had been in a car accident because he also called Linfield football games. And he was driving down to Linfield. They were in a playoff game. And he had an accident, went ahead and called the football game. And I guess driving back or the next day, his wife recognized he wasn't right. We need to go to the hospital. Uh-huh. And we came in Monday morning. This was three or four games into the season. It was early December. And got a shocking email from UP saying
he died.
He had passed away.
Oh my God.
And so
ain't nobody got time for that.
So they were, the pilots were home for 3 weeks, and we told him, I said, hey, I'm more than happy, because he had talked to me about filling in if Linfield went to the national championship game. And I said, yeah, I'd be happy to do a game. And we just told him, hey, you're home for 3 weeks. We can do it. Take care of Bill. Don't feel like you have to make a decision right away. We can do them. I can do them. And then after I did two or three, they just asked how many more I could do.
And this was last season?
2 years ago. So this is my third season.
You're still interim. Look, Swigert, I'm worried about you. Let's just make sure they're taking good care of you.
They're taking good care of me.
All right.
Terry's taking good care of me.
Good.
Lakem's taking good care of me.
Good.
Bro's taking good care of me. I have no complaints
with
the crew over there.
All right. Good. So you're calling UP North Carolina tomorrow.
Yeah, I was watching Carolina played late Monday night against Stanford.
Who won?
Carolina.
Because they're both in the tournament.
Yeah.
Tournament.
Yeah, so Carolina picked that game up. They're in different brackets. So they picked that game up to get out on the West Coast and pick up another game.
Uh-huh.
It was on after Monday Night Football. And
well, the Stanford's coached by Jared Haas, right?
Yes.
And that's Roy Williams.
Roy Williams' boy from Kansas.
Yeah, so that's why. There's always a connection to Roy's non-conference games.
But yeah, Joel Berry is back at point guard. Kenny Williams hit like 400 threes in the first half.
Did he?
So yeah, I was like texting.
So
it's my first question to Terry last night when we did the Terry Porter Show. He's checking 24.
Now, is UP any good?
They have a lot of young talent. They turned the roster over from last year. So Terry's second year, there's only four guys back from last year's team. There are as many, nine guys are playing their first ever Division I college basketball.
Oh my God.
But there's a lot of talent. It's just got to be brought together.
I saw the point spread. Do you want to know what it is?
I'm going to guess 28.5.
26.
About right.
Pilots favored. Shocker.
Yeah, I know. Well, I asked Terry what building they were going to name after him after he pulls off their first win against a top 10 AP team in school history.
Dude, all it takes is one win like this, right?
Because they can shoot. They've got shooters this year. How you pull the upset when
Jason, they're not going to beat North Carolina.
Look, I have my notes. I got Phil prepared. I got to work tonight because second half I could be reaching for information.
If they were to, yeah, right. Like, those are the hardest games to do, right?
Yeah.
If they were to win a game like this, or Portland State were to beat Duke because they played Duke,
yep.
I mean, it instantly puts you on the map, you know?
Oh, no question.
Unfortunately, it's probably not going to happen. But it's a good game to play.
I will admit,
I have thought,
if this thing's close at the end, because I know the radio call is going to end up somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, okay.
This is your moment.
It's your moment.
You might make SportsCenter.
Don't blow it.
Now, are you going to prepare?
I don't want to have something canned.
Phrases? Yeah, yeah, you don't want to do that. You want to go off the cuff, right?
You want to go off the cuff, but you want to be ready for it, too? Like,
Yeah.
Because I remember an interview Al Michaels did with the U.S. hockey team, and as it started to go, he started to think of, okay, what's the feeling here? What's the sense? And he said miraculous came into his mind. And then as the moment happened, that miraculous turned into, do you believe in miracles? So I will be conscious if it's close at halftime to, all right, what's going on here? And start not wanting to step on it.
I can't wait. I'm pulling for Portland because I don't like North Carolina. And yeah, I don't really like Roy Williams.
I know.
I'm still bitter.
Well, I'm...
But I'm more pulling for Portland because I want you to have this moment of calling that, making that call. Because are you solo? Do you have a
yes, I will be solo guy? Because we will be up, you know, in Blazer games. We'll be in Moda Center. So up where... The radio is not on the sidelines anymore, so we'll be up. So sometimes Bro sits in with me when we're at the Child Center or whatever, and he'll...
Bro.
Yeah.
Bro.
Bro. But
His name is Jason.
Jason Bro.
B-R.
O-U-G-H. But he will be down by the bench, so I will be solo. It will be all me.
Bro.
This could be your big break.
Yeah.
Swagger. So you're calling that game, and then...
And then we'll bounce right back on Friday.
Because every team plays three games.
Every team plays three games. So we will have either Oklahoma or Arkansas on Friday.
Okay.
And then the other side is Oregon, Michigan State, DePaul, and UConn.
Probably be playing DePaul. Maybe UConn. But that's good. That's good. Good early season.
It's really good experience for these guys. They're all excited. They're all stoked for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, come on down.
Okay, so you're doing that. And you're doing, how long have you been on the board today? You've been on the board like 12 hours?
I came in later than I usually do, but came in about 10:30. And
you know what, man? You're an all-star.
Thank you.
You really are. Have I ever told you that?
No, you haven't.
You get taken for granted around here, Swigard. You're a stud, damn it. Don't let anybody ever tell you different.
I won't.
Well, I'm excited for today's show. Can you hear the enthusiasm in my voice?
Are we literally the only two people left in the building?
Like I said, I think the boss was here, but they're
closing it at 3.
Yeah.
Traffic might still be in here. There's always some late, you know, something gets messed up with a sales order because they want their Black Friday spots to run. And
you can always count on someone who doesn't want to be around their family, you know.
That's true.
Surely there's somebody in here that's like, oh, yeah, just
the in-laws are in
town. Got a couple of things I got to do before be home about 10, 11. But no, it's, you know, we got one more show. We're going to be off tomorrow, and then we're going to be out at PK80 on Friday. So Suk is out sick. Mike Lynch is on vacation. It's kind of that time of year where we just, you know, I don't know. It's a good sportsy time. I love Thanksgiving week because it's really the only week of the year where you get 4 good, strong days of football in a row. Can you name another time in the year where we get that?
Just
maybe
bowls.
Well, but
Labor Day, the opening week, where sometimes you have like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I think Labor Day weekend, they try and space it out because there's no NFL.
Yeah, but you know,
but that's only college, NFL.
Yeah, we're talking multiple games, multiple days. Like, it doesn't get any better than, I'm not even counting Monday because I looked at the Monday game this Monday. It's Ravens, Texans. Yeah. Who cares? But I mean, you've got, and not only just good games, you got meaningful games like Auburn and Alabama. And so tomorrow we have 3 NFL games and we have the Egg Bowl.
I was looking at the Thanksgiving Day lineup. This is kind of the most meh it's been in the last few years.
Yeah, it's not great. But the Egg Bowl is only, I mean, you know, I don't care about the Egg Bowl ever, but when they play it on Thanksgiving Day, I do.
Yeah.
Because I have nothing else to do. And then great rivalry games on Friday, although Friday's a little thin. But you have PK80.
You got PK80 starting tomorrow.
And then Saturday, huge games, the Apple Cup, the Civil War, Bama, Auburn, and then Sunday, a full slate of NFL. I mean, come on, man. This is a great sports week. Great football week.
Yep.
I love it. Well, Jason, no Corey Hall today. He was on the morning show, so we're going to leave that there. We do have some Civil War talk, though. I know this is like your 58th Civil War here locally. That was an old joke. Do you get it?
Yeah.
Like that you're really old, and so you've
really
seen
old.
58 of
I've
how
seen,
many Civil Wars have you seen? Old man.
Well, I'm 46, so
47 Civil Wars. God, we're gonna talk Civil War. Dave Bartu's coming on.
I'm old. I am dying.
We missed him yesterday. He'll be at 4:15. These college football playoff rankings are out, and it's, I don't know about you, but it's starting to look like it may be the same, you know, the same teams. You know, if you get Alabama, Clemson again, and then an Ohio State, Oklahoma, some combo in there, I don't know. I'm not that excited about that. I want some upheaval this weekend.
I want Wisconsin to put a beat down on whoever they play in the Big Ten championship game.
Are we rooting for Auburn? Or do we want Goliath? We want,
I don't know,
Alabama.
Do you want chaos? I guess, are you rooting for chaos?
I think it'd be kind of fun. I don't want to see Ohio State in there.
No.
I'm so tired of Ohio State.
That's why I say if Wisconsin's going to win out, let's just beat the bejesus out of whoever you play in that Big Ten title game. Leave no doubt.
Yeah, I just don't think they will. You know, I mean,
they don't have an offense to run it up.
No, this is typical Ohio State.
That defense could pitch a shutout, though.
Yeah, we'll see. So we've got Bartu. See who he thinks is in the is going to be in the playoff. He's going to be coming on at 4:15. We have Mike Leach audio. What else do we have? We'll set up PK 80. A lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of news. Blazers, Sixers tonight? Are you kidding me? So let's get started with Chip Kelly. We're waiting on Chip Kelly. Man, has that dude played this perfectly or what? We'll get to that next. 3:15, Souk out sick, Rob here, Swag here. Be with us till 7 here on 1080 The Fan. You know what you've inspired me to do, Swigard? Just your mere presence.
I still have that effect on you.
Yeah, you've inspired me today. I think that, well, I love to gamble this week because, I don't know, I'm usually just sitting around, right?
True.
Like we're all just kind of lazy for 3 or 4 days, although we're working on Friday. But in general, it's like, you know, I wouldn't normally bet on the Egg Bowl, but because it's on Thanksgiving and I'm going to be in my sweatpants half in the bag, I'm going to start researching the game and, you know, handicap it and lay a little money on it. What you've inspired me to do is bet on every game of PK 80.
PK 80?
I'm going to do that.
All right.
Well, and later, I want your help because I know you've scouted. I mean, you know these teams. So we're going to help the listeners have a little fun with PK 80. And I was just looking at the point spreads. We'll get to those later.
That'll be good.
I'm excited about this.
I'm excited too.
I'm already on the Pilots, plus 26. I think they lose by 20.
That would be a safe bet.
Safe bet.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, because, well,
I have to be careful. I don't know what I'm allowed to say about it. I don't get a call.
Who are you on, Swagger?
Well, the NCAA does not take kind to wagering.
You think they're listening?
So.
You think they're listening right now?
Bro's listening.
Bro?
Bro.
GM
yeah.
Bro?
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. He's a P1, isn't he? He listens.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm going to bet, well, mainly because I want to pull for them, right? Like, I don't want to pull against them.
No, and it's a good team to pull for. It's a fun team to pull for.
Well, you like Terry Porter.
You like Terry Porter. The assistants are great. And the young guys, I've had the opportunity to, there's a lot of, they had some transfers, a lot of freshmen that are going to be playing from all over the world. They've got an international roster. But
cool.
They're cool. They're all getting along. They had a London trip over the summer where they got to go to London and play a few games and get some practices and kind of some bonding time. They've come together pretty quick for a team. So they're fun.
Like
they're a fun group.
Well, we've added a segment. Bet on PK 80.
That's right.
Exclusively with Rop and Swigard a little bit later. But let's talk about Chip Kelly.
What's he waiting for, quite frankly? Has he made the decision he's going to be a college football coach again? Have we discerned that?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so because here's what I think's happened. I think that...
You figure out the NFL's not coming calling for him again?
I think he knows that.
Okay.
Because he would have gotten offers.
I would think so.
I mean, you know, the coordinator's already getting fired.
I wonder if you think he's had offensive coordinator offers at the NFL level and doesn't want to be a coordinator anymore?
I do think that, yeah. I think that... Look, you know, if you look at what he's done and the moves that he's made... San Francisco doesn't make a lot of sense, but, you know, it's not often that you get a head coaching position in the NFL. He got another offer to be a head coach.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, I
got
to take it because that's what he wanted.
Stay viable, stay out there, and if you can flip things around pretty quick, then who knows what comes next.
But he's been very calculated and very smart. And, all the way back to when he jumped to Oregon, like in hindsight, what a great move. Like he probably came out there knowing nothing about Oregon and then went, because Bellotti went and found him, right?
Yeah.
In New Hampshire. And then went, holy crap, we can win here. Nike and these facilities, you know. And so he parlayed that into what he wanted in the NFL. But NFL's not calling anymore. And I think I'm guessing what happened is Chip had interest from Florida. And David Dunn, who is Chip's agent, said, hold on a minute. He said, let's see if we can get you another offer or two. Let's play our cards right here, because if you want to get back into college coaching, you know, there are going to be a lot of openings. Well, David Dunn, Chip's agent, happens to be a UCLA alumni. So he probably places a call, says, hey, you know what? Chip's sniffing around, but you got to hurry because Florida wants him. And he likes Florida. Boom, Jim Mora fired. And now... We're reading that UCLA has jumped right in, and Chip has been contacted by Tennessee and Nebraska, of which he has no interest.
I wouldn't either.
And well, because he knows he's the guy. He is the number one guy out there, and he knows that. And so he's saying no to those two.
Those two, he knows he has to work his tail off on the recruiting trail. If you're in L.A. or Florida, you don't have to work as hard. You don't have to travel as much. You don't have to go through as much nonsense.
Well, he's smart. And so now Dunn's got him an offer from UCLA as well. And so the latest is that he's actually interested in Arizona State should it open. But Todd Graham's still the coach there. Right now, it's UCLA in Florida, and he's expected to decide in the next couple of days. He'll probably eat a lot of turkey, drink some wine tomorrow, and talk to some family and figure it out. Now, he's not in any hurry because he's still getting paid by the NFL. He has to wait. He's collecting another check from them before
he's still doing work for ESPN, so he's still got...
Yeah, he's not in any hurry.
No.
But the schools are.
Eventually, they need an answer.
He's going to need to make this weekend.
So you're buying this Under Armour... Because UCLA is an Under Armour school that he's hedging because of Phil Knight and his relationship? Or you think that's somebody trying to read the tea leaves?
No, I think that's a factor, but I think he's going to Florida. I honestly believe that they are playing UCLA as a...
Leverage?
As leverage. Yeah, I think he's going to Florida. It only makes sense. And I just... I don't know. I don't really agree with the people. And Suk and Wilcox were both trying to convince me yesterday that UCLA may be the better of the two for him. It's not the better job. Florida's a better job, but just in terms of not being in the fishbowl and, you know, being back in the Pac-12 in LA, West Coast, a lot of celebrities a lot of people have their eye on something else in LA. So you can go there and you don't have the microscope of Florida. Jim McElwain just got fired after winning what'd he win? 18 games in 2 years or 20 games in 2 years? Then Chip knows that well. He won 20 games in his first two seasons with the Eagles and then, you know, goes a little south and he gets fired. So he may be sensitive
to that.
Chip's
never been worried about being in the fishbowl. He doesn't mind the challenge of winning immediately.
I agree. I
don't think that bugs him.
Florida to me is where he wants to win.
Yeah, he wants to win.
And Florida is the best place for him to win. Not even close. If that's just the factor, then how on earth does he choose UCLA over Florida? That makes no sense. It's just, you know, we don't know what's going on in his head. I think he's going to go to Florida. And I think they've yanked UCLA in on this.
Trying to drive up the bid?
There's a chance that he goes to UCLA, but I believe that, you know, this idea that he's not a very good fit in the SEC, he's more of a West Coast. I don't understand that at all. That makes no sense to me.
I don't understand. People don't realize, like you said, he grew up in New England, in New Hampshire, and was coaching there.
And look around the SEC. I mean, you have Dan Mullen running that offense there. And I don't know. Urban Meyer ran the spread at Florida. It's like, what? I think that whole idea of pace offense is not a coastal thing anymore. It's all over the college football. It's in the Big Ten, for God's sakes. So I don't know. I don't know. It just depends on his personal preference.
Who he gets to come run his defense. That's the key.
Yeah, I think the essentials for him are recruiting. And both, of course, are in recruiting hotbeds. I think he's going to need to hire a staff, put together a staff that can get out, hit the pavement, use social media, and really, you know, you bring him the kids, man, he will X's and O's his way back into the college football playoff.
The way it looks right now, really, your only threat in the SEC East is what Kirby Smart's got cooking at Georgia.
I always forget. Who all's in the SEC East?
Kentucky, Tennessee.
That's right.
Is Vanderbilt in the East?
Well, it'll be interesting to see who Tennessee hires, but I don't know. I just think Florida, man, that's a top.
South Carolina.
Isn't Florida a top four or five job in all of college football? It doesn't get much better.
No.
It really doesn't. And I don't think UCLA is in that class, but then again, it comes down to personal preference. But what we're reading today is that Chip says no to Nebraska, no to Tennessee. He will decide between UCLA and Florida within the next couple of days. And if Arizona State were to open, he'd be interested in that. But we don't know what's going on with Todd Graham. All right. A little bit more on Chip coming up next. I have a few other thoughts about, you know, just sort of the talent pool that's out there for coaches. This is, I don't remember a year where you've had so many high-profile openings, and there are going to be more. It sounds like A&M's going to fire someone. So I think it's pretty obvious Chip's the number one guy out there. And then we'll talk about the Apple Cup. Should we get into the Apple Cup, Jason? It's Civil War week, but we should not ignore the Apple Cup because...
No, the Apple Cup will determine who plays in the Pac-12 championship game.
So we'll get to that coming up as well. Dave Bartu on the college football playoff and maybe a few thoughts on who Oregon State may hire. That will be at 4:15. It is 3:28 on a Wednesday. Bridgeport Beers text line 55305. Souk out sick. A lot of you texting in on Chip Kelly here. You know, that some of you think that the Under Armour thing is a bigger deal than maybe some are making it. You know, he is very close with Phil Knight. And if I'm Phil Knight, I'm probably shooting him a text jokingly, but maybe passive-aggressively saying, you know, if you're coming back to college football, keep your ass out of the Pac-12. And by the way, Florida's a Nike school. Have a good day. I'd be sending that text if I'm Phil Knight. I don't know. What do you guys think about if Chip Kelly comes back to the Pac-12? What do you think of that? Text 55305, because if he goes to UCLA, he's back, baby.
I mean, Florida's got, they're one of the schools that has more resources than Oregon. I don't think UCLA does. I think that would frustrate the hell out of him that he couldn't get the assistance and all those that he wanted.
Well, I think they would have to convince him in order to get him. I think they'd have to convince him, hey, we're all in now. Because UCLA has not always been all in.
No, because they're a state school.
They're raising money for facilities.
Yep.
Now, and Florida, you know, from what I understand, Florida's facilities aren't, I mean, they're not the best in the country.
Well, I've heard the swamp itself is nothing to write home about.
Well, Gainesville kind of sucks.
It's just big.
Somebody else brought that up on text. Gainesville sucks. That could be a huge factor. It could be. You know, I mean, I don't know. Jabby, would you rather live in Gainesville or L.A.?
I never got the sense Chip was in, though, to the Hollywood celebrity. That's why I kind of think he liked Eugene. He could just, I mean, he didn't want to deal with the media there. You think he's going to go down to L.A. and deal with that?
I don't know, man. I think that dude wants to win.
Not that there's hordes covering UCLA football, but still.
I think he wants to win, and I think he wants to shove it to everyone who's been piling on him as being exposed, and it was a flash in the pan at Oregon.
If he wants to win a national championship,
go to Florida. Exactly, and that's why I think he's going to end up at Florida. You know, but he's smart. He's, you know, at worst, he's got a bidding war going on here, and, you know, two pretty strong and contrasting choices. You know, that's just masterfully played. So we'll see what he chooses. Not out of the realm of possibility he goes to UCLA, but I just think he's definitely the most interesting name out there. He's the number one guy. I mean, you know, you look around at some of these other coaches that are being bandied about. Bobby Petrino, you know, he comes with baggage. Scott Frost and Matt Campbell are up and coming, but those guys are risky, you know, due to the lack of a sample size with them. Gary Patterson seems like a slam dunk to me. I've always screamed Gary Patterson every year. Every year I talk about Gary Patterson. I'm like, how on earth can no big-time program get him out of TCU? But you never really hear his name mentioned. He must be happy there. Dan Mullen, to me, is vastly overrated. Vastly overrated. Chip Kelly, I think Mike Leach is better than Dan Mullen. So short of yanking Gus Malzahn or Jimbo Fisher, or, you know, you're not getting Urban Meyer, but short of yanking one of those guys from their current jobs, Chip Kelly is the guy. I mean, that dude went 46-7 at Oregon. Do we need to recap what he did at Oregon? That guy lost 3 conference games in 4 seasons, 33-3. He won 10 games, 12 games, 12 games, and 12 games, and then played for the title 2 of the 4 years. I mean, yes, NCAA violations, but...
Well, SEC, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
I mean, this notion that, you know, he was sort of right place, right time, and that time has passed since so many programs are running tempo now, I don't really think it was a moment in time. I think it was how it was run. He did it better than everyone else. He is the master of it at the college level, and I think sometimes it's kind of a slap in the face that, oh, well, Chip Kelly was really great coach for 5 years or 4 years or whatever it was at Oregon, and he can't duplicate that. You're not giving him enough credit. I mean, yes, he had problems on the NFL level, of course. That's a different animal. But I'll remind you, he made Nick Foles look like an MVP. Nick Foles looked like an MVP in the NFL. He won 20 games in his first 2 seasons with the Eagles, but he's clearly better suited in college. It's just that, I mean, I just don't think his strengths are limited to his offense. I mean, he's He's an innovator. He's an independent thinker. He's a forward thinker. He essentially changed how teams practice in preparation for a Saturday game. He changed college football with the whole idea of ramping down on Thursdays and Fridays. It's his approach. He's innovative. He's out of the box. And so, you know, it's like you look at Mike Leach. You know, you always say, well, maybe college football's caught up to what Chip Kelly does. Look at Mike Leach. Nobody's caught up to what Mike Leach does. He's still putting up big numbers with that offense. Why? Well, because he's good at doing it. And that's what Chip Kelly was. So, I mean, he's the guy, and this is the year, because there are a lot of openings. And you got to feel, you know, if you're Tennessee or Nebraska, you don't feel very good that the number one guy out there is like, yeah, nah, I like UCLA more than you guys. Whoa. And then A&M may open, you know, Arkansas may open. But Chip, he's the key domino. And so I think the key for him is just recruiting. Can he keep his nose clean? And what kind of staff is he going to assemble? Will he bring back Mark Helfrich? You know, that's an interesting thought. Helfrich is still sitting up in the booth. So to me, it makes the most sense for him to go to Florida, bring in a staff that can recruit number one, social media, aggressive, active, and then he's the X's and O's guy. Bring me the kids. Boom. We'll win. That's what he did at Oregon. Telling me you can't do that at Florida? So the text line 55305, you did have Marcus Mariota. That is definitely true.
Yeah, but Marcus wasn't you'll get higher caliber recruits. Marcus was, a three-star recruit out of Hawaii? Not heavily sought. Pull a 4 or 5 star recruit from Texas or Florida or somewhere over there.
You know what though? When's the last time Florida had a really good quarterback?
Tebow.
And he was a great college quarterback.
He's a great college quarterback.
You're right, he was. And yeah, and
Werfel?
That's a long.
Danny Werfel.
Dude, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, why can't it blows me away that LSU and Florida could never get a quarterback under Les Miles and McElwain and
I know.
You know, it's wild. Miami doesn't have a quarterback. And they're winning. I mean, they're undefeated. Alabama just now got a quarterback. I mean, this kid's young, but he's dynamic. It's just like, it's wild to me that, you know, that some of these big profile schools, it must be more difficult than you think, because a lot of these big high profile schools don't find quarterbacks consistently. It's crazy, which is maybe why he would. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's a testament to the West Coast. Look at all the quarterbacks out here.
Oh, no question. Up and down the West Coast. I think there's better high school coaching up and down the West Coast.
Yeah, this guy says the best thing about Chip is his quarterback development. Dixon, Masoli, Thomas. You know, that is true. For all the talk about Mariota, he played in the national championship game with Darren Thomas. Darren Thomas wasn't great.
And Dixon was leading them to a potential BCS title before he went down in Arizona.
That was Bilotti, though.
Wasn't he the OC at that point?
Yeah, he might have been OC by then. All right. Well, we'll see what he does. We'll see what Chip decides. I think it's going to be great to have him back in college football. But
it's going to be left for Oregon State. Or are they totally going a different route?
I think they're in a different pool. I think they're swimming in a different pool, Swigard. You know what, if I'm Oregon State right now, I'm sure they're trying to do this. They're not stupid.
Well, according to...
I hire Bo Baldwin. Bo Baldwin right now.
According to Angie Machado, who does her podcast with Sprague, she said they have their guy. They're just waiting for games to finish. And
so it's one
contracts.
Of two... It's one of two guys.
And so they got a one, they got a two. One is clearly ahead of two, and it's just a matter of waiting for the season to finish up so they can take care of all the legal issues.
It's one of two guys. It's Bo Baldwin or it's Jonathan Smith.
I would think so.
And I think it should be Bo Baldwin. I just don't know enough about Jonathan Smith. I will say, you know, it kind of raises a red flag when Husky fans saying, yeah, take him. He's their offensive coordinator. Bo Baldwin, I think his offense, what he was able to do at Eastern Washington has got to be really intriguing, because he runs he's an offensive guy. You need an offensive guy. You got to kind of try to copy the model of Leach up in Pullman. Great fit. Bill Moose was smart enough to know, man, we got to open it up. We got to, you know, to get talent in here, we got to run something good, something unique. And Mike Leach does that. He was able to get him. And I think Bo Baldwin's the same way, and it would be a great fit in Corvallis. Just a matter of if he wants it.
And I think he understands at a place like Eastern Washington how to develop talent. Finding guys with chips on their shoulder because they didn't get Pac-12 scholarships, bringing them in, putting them together, giving them assistance. Because it's going to be, they're so far behind the eight ball. You were talking to Andrew Nemec last night at the Civil War party. How far behind all the other schools they are at this point in recruiting?
Well, I don't know. What do you think? Is there another name we're missing? Or is there another road that they could go down that we're not thinking of? Because I just think that both of those guys is the right idea.
Not unless Bob Stoops is bored.
Young offensive guy. Bob Stoops. I think Bob Stoops is done.
I do too.
And if he weren't done, he ain't coming to Corvallis. I doubt that. All right. Coming up next. What is next? Ah, yes, next. Let's talk about the Apple Cup, 344 on the Fan. Hey, we had a great time at that Civil War mixer last night. We did a live show, and then we hung out, got out of there about 9. Some folks hung around, some P1s, some listeners, met a lot of cool people. Want to thank Coors Light for putting that on. We had Big Al's in Beaverton, Bill Swanka, Josh Wilcox need to be thanked for showing up, Andrew Nemec, all the fan hosts who came out. Dusty was there. I saw Sprague as well. A lot of feedback that people had a good time. And we want to thank Hoodies Collectibles as well. They were there giving away some cool... people walked out of there with a lot of cool stuff. Some autographed memorabilia. Plus, we had a lot of sexual harassment talk. You know, that's the big talk around the water cooler, Jason. It's the talk of the people, how horrible men are. You know, men all over the country looking inward, deeply inward, Jason.
Yeah.
Unless they're in denial.
No more skeletons.
Right. Yeah. If they're in denial, they're probably, you know, they're blaming and deflecting and creating safe space for their behaviors in their head. But most of us are looking honestly at this and going, oh, no. Have I done anything? And I'm pretty confident that I haven't. As a matter of fact, I'm really confident that no one could ever truthfully accuse me of sexual assault. I'm going to put that out there right there, right now.
Look at you.
On
bold,
the air.
Bold statement. Courage. It's the courage I hear, keep hearing this show.
That's right.
Trying to get above 70.
No, I notice you're not saying that. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well.
We all know your ways. All right, listen, what were we talking about? Oh, a couple of other texts here. RJ mentions Rick Neuheisel, Beavers. Yeah. I don't know. Doesn't do anything for me.
If that was going to happen, I think it already would have happened. I mean, he's just hanging out.
Why hire him?
Exactly.
Why? I mean, like, I don't know.
Well, but yeah,
I don't know.
I don't think I think Scott Barnes is smart enough. I don't think he feels like they need to do a gimmicky thing. He needs to find somebody who can put a program together that can win consistently,
sustain,
and
young,
you know, the only
offense.
Person that's done that Energy. In the last 5 decades is Mike Riley. I mean, Erickson came in for a little bit.
Nothing
but,
says young like Mike. Well, look, Jeff Tedford is another one.
Hello.
Some people are saying, I don't know why Jeff Tedford's name never pops up. Yeah, you know, again, not young. Interesting. I think he'd be a nice stabilizing force. I just don't know if you could. I mean, is he jumping from Fresno State to Oregon State, or is he buying his time for a better jump?
I think he'd be a better gig. I just think the other piece of it is what has happened with Oregon, with Willie Taggart and the energy that he has brought there. I think Oregon State has to find a way to match the energy that's coming out of Corvallis with its coaching staff. Not necessarily does that mean a Jeff Tedford or a Rick Neuheisel can't do it, but those two I don't necessarily see. They're still part of the good old boys network from a few decades ago. And I think that's going to be crucial for Oregon State as they try to compete with, especially in-state recruits. I don't know that they're going to pull the 4- and 5-star kids from Texas and California and Florida that Willie's bringing in. But for in-state recruits to not be an afterthought, you better have some excitement. You better have a little sizzle coming out of Corvallis with whoever is coaching there. Now, whether they're a household name or not, I don't think matters because I don't think Willie Taggart was a household name when he showed up in Eugene.
Right, but he's a lot more toys, you know.
Oh, no question.
To play with. Well, You know, this says, you know, you know who else was very successful, did a lot with little talent, and also a former head coach at Eastern Washington, Paul Wolf. So be careful what you wish for. Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, you know, you're taking a little
bit
of a risk.
You're still taking a risk no matter what.
No matter what, yeah. But I just think Baldwin, I don't know. I think he checks all the boxes for what Oregon State needs. Now, it may not work out because I thought Gary Anderson was going to be great, and that flamed out. Good God, did that flame out. So, you know, I don't know. I just think that you can hire Baldwin, be confident that he's the guy, give him, you know, 4 or 5 years. And if, you know, if that didn't work out, I just, you know, sometimes there are forces against your control. It's like, I felt like we hired the right guy. I don't think anybody, in other words, with Bo Baldwin, is anybody complaining about that hire? I mean,
no,
it's just, it makes a lot of sense.
I think you get full support. I think you get buy-in from alumni.
You give
from,
a young
on
guy
campus.
With a flashy offense. You give him time. That's
he knows.
I mean, what else are you going to do as an athletic department?
Knows the area for recruiting.
I just don't know. I mean, you think they can get him? I hope they can get him. Maybe he just wants to bide his time at Cal. I don't know. Okay. Well, we're going to get to the Apple Cup here. It is Saturday night at 5 o'clock on Fox. As a matter of fact, there is no Pac-12 After Dark. Saturday night. This is the last game. 5 o'clock.
And it'll be right here on the Fan Saturday. You can listen to old Chaz and Gesser.
You calling that game too? Oh, no.
Oh,
Chaz.
No.
Chaz.
No. Matt Chazanow. Jason Gesser.
Yeah, I love Gesser. Let me tell you something about Gesser. He was out at the... Gesser was out at the Battle at Bandon, Joey Harrington's deal that they do out there. What a great event. If you can ever get into that, if he's still doing that, I went there 1 year, and oh my God, that was so fun. It was so unique. Because he brings, what he does is Joey flies in two ex-athletes from each Pac-12 school, and there are only two spots, so there's 24 spots for players, right? Two guys who play with the two athletes, and you pay a bunch of money for his charity to fly out there and play and represent your school. Like for Oregon State, he had Brent Berry out there the year I was there, some other guys. Like, I mean, it's just big names. You know, he gets some good names and fun guys, not bites in the ass. And so I had to fill in 1 year for a guy that played on the UCLA team with Jason Capono and I forget the other guy's name, but my God, were they fun. And Gesser was out there. And Gesser is the world's worst golfer. I have never seen a worse golfer than Jason Gesser. I mean, horrible. It's to the point where he got paired up with Colorado's, the big boy from Colorado. He does a radio show in Denver, played in the NFL for years.
Chad Brown?
No. Oh. Just so fun, loud, big old loud, obnoxious guy. I forget his name, but he was so mad that he got paired with Gesser. He walked off on the par three.
We'll have to ask him. He's going to join Dirt and Sprague on Friday for a little Apple Cup preview at 1:30.
Great dude, Jason
he's
Gesser.
He's great dude.
Have you ever met a Coug you didn't like?
No.
I'm serious, man. I've never met a Coug that I didn't like. The Cougs are great. I don't know what it is in the water in Pullman, but they're fun. They're down to earth. You got to love the Cougs.
They can be a bit volatile at times, though.
Well, they're big drinkers. You know, you got to watch their intake. But look, they've had a lot to complain about over the years.
That's true.
But this is the biggest game for Washington State since...
Ryan Leaf.
You think so?
Rose Bowl.
Yeah, probably is. Because if they win this, they go to the Pac-12 championship game.
There's still 1 second on the clock if you ask Cougs. He did spike it.
Just like Michael Dyer was down,
right?
The Auburn running back.
Go to the grave.
He was down.
There was 1 second on the clock when he spiked it.
Wow. Well, let's get more into the Apple Cup. What's been going on there? Mike Leach has lost 4 in a row to the Huskies. We'll talk about that. We have Dave Bartu lined up as well, 4:15, College Football Matrix, 3:57 on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend
or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.